Greetings, this is Richard Solon.
And I'm Kendall Solon.
And this is Solon and Solon, Letters to the Inquiring Mind on Theology and Scripture. This is Richard Solon. The following sermon is entitled simply, I Believe.
The other day I received a publication from a group known as Jews for Jesus. I've mentioned them before, I've mentioned the publication before, but I'm intrigued by them. I was first introduced to the organization Jews for Jesus by a young member of that organization who spoke to the Ashland Clergy Association. Since then, I've been receiving their newsletter. The article which particularly caught my interest was by the editor, Michael Rosen. He was reflecting on the difference between his Jewish identity and his Christian identity. And he considers himself both. But he recalled that the days before his conversion, that when his English friends, his Christian friends spoke to him, they would always often ask him what he believed about God, what he believed about the Scripture, what he believed about Jesus, this and that. And he reflected, and he was usually annoyed by these questions because he hadn't thought about them. He didn't believe anything about them. And he realized that being Jewish didn't require any particular belief. He was born a Jew. Just as one is born with brown eyes or born in New York, it's a given. Being Jewish was simply like that. Belief played no role in this singular fact of his life, a fact which, almost more than any other, determined his identity, who he was. But being Christian was a different matter than Michael Rosen in this article. Believing in Jesus as the Christ of God is a personal decision. One is not born a Christian. One may be born into a Christian family and be so brought up into it. It's like that, like being born Christian. But nevertheless, an individual becomes a Christian through personal faith. If in Judaism, identity precedes belief, then in Christianity, belief precedes identity. On the one hand, I may be a religious Jew or a non-religious Jew, a religious Jew or a secular Jew. But whether I am religious or non-religious, I am still a Jew. Not so the Christian. An individual is a Christian only when he or she believes that Jesus is the Christ of God and that that says something about who the believer is and what the believer does and thinks. You know, in evangelical Christianity through the ages, there has been an emphasis upon the before and after, talked about in terms of being born again or experience of receiving Jesus or salvation. And so often in these cases, the lives that are very dramatic lives are referred to. There's John Newton. His conversion, one of the most dramatic. It's memorable because he preserves the before and after in what has become, in our time, the most well-known hymn of all Christianity, Amazing Grace. I once was lost, now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Now, it may be that when he was a sinner, before his conversion, before he was a Christian, before he believed, he was not aware that he was lost or that he was blind. Although I would rather imagine something in him knew that he was blind, that he was lost, or otherwise the conversion not likely to have taken place. But nevertheless, there is a new identity. He now knows that he sees. He now knows who he is. And he is one who follows after the Christ. Well, any number of other hymns express the same before and after, in which Christian identity becomes a part of one's self-understanding. I remember that on Wednesday night prayer meeting, which I often had to go. My father was the pastor of the church. So. My dad was one who liked classical music. We didn't usually sing these gospel hymns, but we did on Wednesday night for the hearts and souls of those who came to prayer meeting. And I remember the hymns. One by McDaniel. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Yes, I heard it. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. You see, in Christian faith, believing in Jesus as the Christ of God brings with it a new self-understanding. And with it, a new identity. And as in the case of these two great conversions, a new life. As a child, I was often struck by the gospel stories of how Jesus called the disciples. We've heard one as Darnell Ellswick has read the account in Luke's gospel. In St. Peter's case, there is a miracle of catching fish, which precedes his obedience to Christ. Because he sees the power of Christ, he becomes a believer. And in other stories, Jesus will see James and John, and he calls to them and says, "Come and follow me." And they drop whatever they're doing, and they follow him. And if you had asked them prior to this moment in their life, "Who are you?" they would have answered by their vocation, "I am a fisherman." But if you had asked them the moment after, they would have said, "I'm a student of theology. I'm a disciple of Christ. That is who I am." So believing in Jesus as the Christ of God gives them a new self-understanding, and that means a new identity. The same is true of the Apostle Paul. In the 15th chapter of his letter to the Corinthians, he refers to the time when he has an appearance of the Lord. And he refers to himself as one born out of time, untimely born. Another way of talking about a moment as a kind of birth. Something happening. A new identity takes place. A new self-understanding. And we capture that, whether historically or accurate or not, in the name, change name. Before, he had been known by his particularistic name, his Hebrew name, his name Saul. And afterwards, he is known by a more generic name, a Greek name, the language of the empire, the language of the world, so far as they were concerned. Paul. A new self-understanding, a new identity comes with his belief. There's a graduate of Randolph-Macon College who will be honored this year with a honorary degree. His name is Christopher Morse. He is professor of theology at Union Theological Seminary in New York, and I think he's getting the degree because of a new book that he has written. It's a fine work. And it's called Not Every Spirit, and subtitled A Dogmatics of Disbelief. And what Kit Morris wants to say in his work is that when I say I believe, I am at the same time saying I do not believe. That with every belief, there is embodied a disbelief that one should adopt and hold just as sincerely as the belief. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I do not believe that the world is created by chance and that life is meaningless. I believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. I do not believe that anyone else is the Lord of my life. You know, we say these words because they become a part of our liturgy, and we don't give them much thought. But in the first century, you can be sure that those who became Christian did think about them. The oldest, or one of the oldest, confessions of faith in the New Testament simply embodied in two words, Christos Kyrios. Kyrios Christos, either way. Christ is Lord. We say it. But in the first century, it had special meaning. Because when young men were inducted or pressed into the Roman Empire, at the voice of the commander, they had to reply. They had to shout, Kyrios Caesar, which meant Caesar is Lord. And so for a Christian to say, Christ is Lord, embodied in it a disbelief. I do not believe that Caesar is the master of my life. You know, I think when the history of the 20th century is written, and you'll be able to do that in a little while, its beginning and its ending will be very curious.
Before the century had reached halfway mark, two great wars had been fought. Millions of young men and boys died in Europe at the hands of those great wars.
Englishmen killing Germans, killing French, killing Italians, Americans killing Japanese, Japanese killing Americans. And at the end of the century, we realize that we are bound together. Give them $40 billion, or at least guarantee it. Their welfare and our welfare are intertwined. And when you tell the story of Enola Gay, don't forget that there was a schoolhouse of young Methodist girls in Hiroshima who went up in smoke. It might have been a different history if we had been able to say with the same fervor the Christians in the first and second centuries, Kyrios Christos, Christ is Lord, and no earthly ruler of any stripe is greater than the Son of God who calls us into a new identity, a new self-understanding. Thanks be to God for this good news. Amen.
You've been listening to Solon and Solon, Letters to the Inquiring Mind on Theology and Scripture. If you're enjoying this series, please take a moment and rate us on iTunes. You can learn more about this podcast at solonandsolon.com.